Michael Felder in the bleachers on Twitter. Stadium, he's our sorry. Felder joining us. Felder joining us. Felder, what's up, man?
Hey, I just got – I'm in a you guys don't know about this, but I'm in an exclusive Pantana Bob's group chat on Instagram of people that used to work there. There's like eight of us, and I just got sent a picture of someone that was there today, and it looks the same today as it looked when I was in school,
hey,
baby.
Man, that's the appeal, man. You go back to get that feeling. You know, make sure you got the koozie in your back pocket when you show up as well.
You know I got that.
I know you do. I know you do. All right, man. So you're eating tape all day, man. Tape don't lie. I know that's your thing with Stadium. You got your podcast. Arch Manning has been discussed, dissected. You know, where is he going to go? He goes to Texas today. The nephew of Eli Manning and Peyton Manning is going to Texas with Steve Sarkisian. Does this surprise you?
It's surprising, yeah, because for a couple different reasons, right? So we could talk from the familial reason. We talk about Ole Miss and obviously Eli, Archie. They clearly are they're Ole Miss guys. They're an Ole Miss family. Tennessee on the hump with Peyton Manning. What do you do there? But the big thing for me is if you go to Ole Miss, and now let's flip it to the football side. You got Lane Kiffin. You want to play for Lane Kiffin? You want to play for Sark? And that's an interesting prospect for me because Sark earned a lot of cachet. Obviously with Mac Jones, but also with what he was able to do at Alabama. And it's like people forgot about the old, like everything else that Sark did, which was be terrible at Washington and at USC, on and off the field. And so that's an interesting dynamic for me. The other part of it, though, is when you talk about on the field, is he a savior? And that's the big question. I think that's why you texted me this morning, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is he a savior, right?
Yeah, I asked you if he was because I'm sitting here confused. I thought Sarkisian already got like another one of these top recruits to be the QB. What is it? The kid's
Quinn
name.
Quinn Ewers.
Yes. And like if Arch Manning is such a prospect, why are we sitting here talking about redshirting this upcoming season? I'm really confused by all of this. In today's like people, well, Eli redshirted. Yeah, but Eli played like in a completely different era. So what am I missing here?
Well, there's a couple of different things. So Texas has Quinn Ewers now. He transferred from Ohio State back home to Texas. They also have Malik Murphy, another guy that's a highly touted player. And then you throw in Arch Manning into the mix as well, provided that he sticks with this commitment. It's about how many shots you're going to take, right? Like if this guy doesn't work, I can put this guy in. It's Oklahoma a season ago, right? Where you have Spencer Rattler, who was the number one quarterback, and then he doesn't work out. So you throw Caleb Williams at the problem, and he's able to make some things happen. So you want to have bodies to throw at the problem. So I think that's the reason the coach wants it. From a player standpoint, you've got to imagine that, and listen, I understand they've got the Omaha Network and they've got, the ESPN show, and they're one guy that's won two Super Bowls and another guy that's considered one of the most cerebral quarterbacks of all time in this camp, another guy that's a college legend, which is why the speed limit is 18 in Oxford. But, like, you got to think that they believe in Steve Sarkisian. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I'm following.
Michael Felder joining us here on the OG on the Heister Automotive Group Hotline. That's Joe Ovius. I'm Joe Giglio. And Felder, just give us an idea. I mean, I know we have a template for what a Manning is supposed to be, but is Arch, are we to expect him to be slightly more athletic? I see that he's listed as 6'4". Is that legit? What kind of player will he actually be?
I think he's 6'3", but it doesn't matter. Who cares? Like, the reality of it is he is more athletic, but everybody's more athletic, right? Like, Eli's more athletic than Dan Marino, and then Arch is more athletic than Eli, and Mark Sanchez was more athletic than Eli. So that doesn't make you better. It just makes you more athletic, and so he can move around a little bit. He does know all the stuff he's supposed to do, but we've seen with like a guy like a Max Johnson, obviously we don't consider Brad Johnson in the pantheon of all-time great quarterbacks, like we do with Eli or not Eli, Peyton, sorry, good grief, oh my goodness. But it's one of those things where you're going to be more athletic. Max Johnson's more athletic than his dad was, but that didn't get you all the way over the hump. So it's the big thing for me is going to be when you step into savior territory, which is what Texas needs, what does that look like?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think he's athletic enough to be a savior. He's not Lamar Jackson.
Okay. He's not Cam Newton, you know, like he's not going to be one of those situations.
Exactly.
Okay.
No, he can scramble a little bit to buy himself some time. And so I went back because when you asked me to do this, Joe, I went through and said, let me go back and look at some guys because I want to throw two names out at you.
All right.
And I want to throw two names at you. One, I want to know if you know these names, and then I want to know what you think about those guys.
Mm-hmm.
Tanner McKee and Davis Mills. Do you know who they are?
I don't know the first. Davis Mills is with the Houston Texans.
Stanford, yep.
Stanford.
Where did he go to college?
Stanford.
Yes. And what did he do there?
I honestly do not remember.
He got hurt.
I legitimately do not remember.
He did get hurt, and he wasn't able to fix them.
Okay.
He has the same, and I like to just bases off just the 24/7 rating. They have the same 24/7 rating.
Interesting. So all of this is to say, how much of this is based on the last name, and how much of this is based on the actual talent?
Which is what I was going to get to next. Which okay. was, I think if his name was different, we wouldn't be talking about him nearly as much.
Mm-hmm.
Not that he's not a good quarterback. Not that he isn't a successful prospect. I don't think he would be the number one overall prospect if his name was Chris Elliott. Chris Elliott. Why did I come up with that name? That's the guy from
the comedian.
Yeah. Good grief. I don't know. But anyway. But the point being, I don't think we'd be talking about him nearly as much. I think we'd be talking about him the way we talk about Tanner McKee.
Gotcha.
I love Tanner McKee because I thought Tanner McKee was he was in the realm with the other top quarterbacks in his class. He was just the guy that we knew was going to take a 2-year Mormon mission, so he wasn't going to be an impact immediately. But Tanner McKee is the current quarterback at Stanford. And let me tell you something. Stanford is a dumpster fire, so he's not going to fix it. And I feel the same way about Texas right now,
mm-hmm.
where they have a ton of problems. Yes, they have Jordan Whittington. Yes, they have Bijan Robinson. Yes, they have DeMarvion Overshown. Yes, they have some pieces, but they don't have what it takes to win. And I don't think Arch is going to be the piece that pushes them over the hump. That's the point that I was trying to get at. Because if you go through, let's run through them. Devin Leary technically was an 88 as a three-star, a four-star composite, but a three-star for 24/7. He was an 88. He's a better quarterback. I love Devin Leary. I am so excited for NC State this year to watch my guys sling the ball around the yard.
Okay.
So good. He's got touch now. Sam Howell, the best quarterback in UNC history, probably, at least statistically speaking.
Sure.
And four-star. He was a 95. Listed as a 95, 96 guy. Okay. And then we get to Christian Hackenberg. Five-star, 100%, the best prospect you could ever have. Played well. He had an amazing freshman year at Penn State. And then petered out. And then obviously we get to Davis Mills, who's the 98. Tanner McKee, who's a 97, 98. And then we get to Justin Fields and Trevor Lawrence, who are 101. Those are program changers. Those are saviors. And the thing is, saviors don't go to programs they have to save. They go to programs that are already installed, that they can already come in, step into, and win
and
an national
ready,
championship.
Right.
Texas is not that.
Yeah,
so,
and it's funny you bring that up.
Happens.
It's funny you bring that up about Trevor Lawrence, because that was the whole thing. He was put in that position because Clemson was ready. They were ready for him to be in that role. And obviously we know the rest of that history. Justin Fields in the same boat. Michael Felder, check him out on Twitter, in the bleachers. Great stuff with Stadium. You got Tape Don't Lie podcast, Hand in the Dirt podcast as well, and the newsletter. I highly recommend the newsletter because not only are you dropping football stuff, great recipes in the newsletter as well, my man.
Yeah, man, I love doing the newsletter. I'm actually about to shoot something for the premium subscribers to the newsletter right now, but regular, the free feed comes out tomorrow. We're talking Kentucky Hot Browns, and we're talking about Cover Zero for Ohio State, which I think is going to have – Ohio State, I think, is going to be the best team in college football next year.
Can't get that in any other newsletter, man. Food and coverage. All right, man, we'll talk to you later. Alongside Joe Giglio, I'm Joe Obias. Stanley Cup playoffs ended in a peculiar fashion last night with the Colorado Avalanche taking a 3-1 series lead. NBA draft is tonight, and the state of North Carolina has people in downtown Raleigh making decisions with their heads up their ass. I really don't know how else to put it. Let's log on to the internet, shall we? It's brought to you by Geico. You got a choice of ways that you can save on car insurance. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Go online to geico.com or stop by the Geico office nearest you. Let's get it.
Number 5.
What's the longest you can go without looking at a phone or your computer or, I don't know, an Us magazine?
Ooh, that's a good question. I have gone out of my way to leave my phone at home.
When you do vacation, you turn Twitter off.
I've kept Twitter off my phone altogether for the most part. Okay. Yeah, but when I go on vacation, I will take Twitter off my phone.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tweet of the day, which has 295,000 likes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna say his first name is Nezrin Danan. The dude next to me on the plane just absolutely raw-dogged this entire flight.
Excuse me?
He got a 10-hour flight to Europe.
Yeah.
In jeans. No head.
No.
No headphones. No book.
Yeah.
No neck pillow. Literally just a paper cup of coffee without a lid. Like, sir, are you okay?
Are there magazines on the plane? Because, hey, I mean, I don't know. Actually, I used Delta most recently. I don't even think they have a Delta magazine anymore. I think they took all those things out because of the pandemic.
10 hours.
Hey, you can kill
nothing.
You can kill a lot of time looking at a SkyMall, man. Now, hold on a second.
It doesn't sound like... It sounds like he just sat there and stared.
I'm sorry. On a 10-hour flight, most airplanes now have built-in monitors in the back of the plane.
Yes.
And you can just watch...
Back of the seats, yeah.
Yeah, or the back of the seats. And you can just watch with closed captions. You know what my favorite game to do on a plane is? This happens all the freaking time. Is that I'll see a couple seats ahead of me. This happened recently when I was coming back from New Orleans. Somebody's watching Spider-Man No Way Home. I've seen it, but it's weird to me to watch it with no sound and try to, like, what's the part of the movie that's happening right now? My kid was watching the one with Heath Ledger and the Joker, not Dark Knight Returns or whatever that one, with Rises with Bane. By the way, quick aside, the one with Bane, Dark Knight Rises, better than the Dark Knight.
Is it because the Heath Ledger thing?
People elevate Dark Knight because of Heath Ledger, but if you just look at the movie itself, the actual structure and the way things go in the movie, Dark Knight Rises, actually a better movie. Heath Ledger's performance carries the hell out of that movie, okay? Carries the hell out of it. Anyway, I go on a tangent. So yeah, I like to play the game of watching movies with no sound on that I've seen to see if I remember the dialogue, because I'm a weirdo. I can't be the only one. I can't be the only one who gets distracted by a movie they've seen playing silently, trying to understand, oh, is this the part where he says this?
I do that with The Office.
Okay, see? There. Okay. Aha!
On the last flight.
The reason why I'm, like, hiding my phone. I usually watch my Netflix shows when I would fly and when I was traveling for work. And I would watch Narcos. And there can be nudity sometimes in Narcos.
Yeah.
Man, you are never as self-aware as you are when you're on your phone and there's an inappropriate scene on your phone and you're like, they're judging me.
Can they see this? Oh boy. Okay. Gotta move on from this. Yeah, so
the 10-second fast forward.
So I just have questions related to what kind of flight it was and the ability to actually have, you know, a monitor on there.
I just love the simplicity of the tweet.
It's a very
jeans, no headphones,
dude,
no book,
no,
no neck pillow.
Jeans on a plane, no thank you. Next up,
number 3.
NBA draft is tonight, Joe. And Jabari Smith from Auburn is your odds-on betting favorite to go number 1 overall to the Orlando Magic. Oklahoma City have the second pick. Chet Holmgren is ticketed there, if you believe the odds makers. And Duke's Paolo Banchero is the odds-on favorite to be the number 3 pick to the Houston Rockets. I know you're excited to see where the Duke guys all go. Mark Williams, I saw his... You can bet on the over-under of what position they'll be drafted.
Yeah.
I saw his number ticketed at 14.5. Do you think Mark Williams goes before the 14th pick?
After.
Or after?
He'll go after the pick. Okay. He'll go after the 14th pick. I mean, look, we've discussed of the Duke players, the ones that I feel like is probably plug and play on a good team.
Right.
That would be Mark Williams. That's not to say that Paolo Banchero. The thing about Paolo Banchero... And I say this in a way that is relatable. It's the concept of being the master of none, okay? Like, I think of myself now at age 43 is that I'm pretty good at a lot of little things, but I'm not excellent at any one particular thing. That makes sense, right? Mm-hmm. Like, oh, I can dabble in this and I can dabble in that. I can dabble on talk radio. I'm okay at it, but I'm not excellent or savant enough at any one thing. Well-rounded, if you will. I'm like the medium guy in the old NES hockey game. I'm not the skinny one. I'm not the fat one. I'm the average dude, okay? I feel like that about Paolo Banchero, where there were moments where you're like, oh, damn, he doesn't seem like really, really good. Oh, there was this. But it came in flashes. It never really was consistent enough. And even to the point of like other Duke players that have come through who are supposed to be the phenomenons, I would even argue that Zion Williamson still had more moments or flashes that you go, damn, if he could just stay healthy, if he could just stay in shape. Even with Paolo Banchero's fatigue issues, fading down the stretch, I never thought those things about him. I always thought to myself, he's fine. He's good. But not to the level that he was kind of brought in with. The other thing that's going to be fascinating tonight is how people react, because I know Carolina fans are going to get in on this tonight. It's going to be a good night for Duke. Straight up, it's going to be a good night for Duke. You know, if you're looking for a Carolina guy, like Brady Manick's not going to get picked tonight. That's not to say that Brady Manick can't land himself in a good position that understands what he's good at, right? But I don't think he's going to get picked in the first round tonight.
Oh, okay.
That's what I meant. Sorry. Yeah. To clarify.
I'm like, second round. I mean, he can shoot. I mean, he has an NBA skill. You need he's one got, skill to
that's
be
what
in
I'm
the
saying.
NBA. He has one skill, yes.
That's what I'm saying. Brady Manick has a skill that an NBA team is going to want, just not in the first round.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a good night for him, too.
Because he's old.
There's that, too. So there's so much with Duke. You're going to see the brotherhood and all the NBA mm-hmm. stuff. And look, this is the game that Carolina used to play for the longest time when they were putting guys into the NBA. That was the MO. If you want to bring up that you got all this talent, you didn't win a national championship, or you lost to what was supposed to be an inferior Carolina squad twice, knock yourself out. But that's the game. And the reason why Duke is in the position that they're in and they're going to continue to be that way under John Shire is because they're really good at highlighting these moments, making the most out of it on social media. It's no different than, if you want to use the football analogous, it's kind of how NC State is when it comes to draft time. Hey, NC State's had some okay seasons. They've built towards this upcoming season. There's a lot of hype. But they just had Ike Ekwonu go to the Carolina Panthers. That is yet another feather in the cap for Dave Dorn and the argument that he makes on the recruiting trail of, hey, come here. It's not that flashy, but we develop, guys. Look at the track record. The same thing with Duke right now. It's, hey, yeah, you know what? Maybe we got swept by Carolina this past season, but you know what? We're putting dudes in the NBA. We got the eyeballs. We got the marketing power behind this. This is the place you want to be. And tonight's just another feather in that cap. Don't knock the hustle, man.
Do you know who has the fourth pick in this year's draft?
Without the list in front of me, I don't know.
Okay, so Sacramento has the fourth pick in the draft this year. And it's not a dissimilar position to what they were in 2018. And I don't know if you remember the 18 draft because all the years kind of run together.
Yeah, they do.
But Sacramento picked second in 18, and they took Marvin Bagley. And this was the reaction. And I'll tell you who the other options were here in a second. But This was the reaction after they took Bagley in 18.
The Sacramento Kings select Marvin Bagley.
Yes!
Whoa.
Yes! I didn't want Luka.
Wait a minute. That kid said, I didn't want Luka?
Yeah.
I didn't want Luka.
Oh, come on.
Luka Doncic would have been the pick, the next pick. Now, you remember that draft is famous because the Hawks actually took Luka Doncic only to trade him to the Mavericks for Trae Young. So, yes, you never really know what you're going to get. And I feel like, to your point about the brotherhood and Duke and putting players into the NBA, they're so exposed from their 1 year at Duke that we kind of feel like, well, we know what you're kind of sort of getting, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you don't really know some of these other guys. We'll see what Sacramento comes up with tonight. A lot of talk about Jaden Ivey and how he doesn't want to go to Sacramento and play for them. So we'll see how it all plays out tonight.
All right, next up.
Number two.
To the Stanley Cup Finals, where the Colorado Avalanche took a commanding 3-1 lead on the Tampa Bay Lightning, winning in Tampa's building last night. and they did it in overtime. It looked like the Lightning were going to swing this series back in their favor and tie things 2-2, but credit to the Avalanche, man. A little grittiness from them last night, taking it to overtime, and then having what was a weird sequence of events on the game-winning goal. I mean, hey, heck, here's the Spanish call, right? The Spanish call is amazing. You might not understand what they're saying, but the vibe, you can pick up on the vibe of confusion.
Colorado encima de Tampa.
Se viene otra vez Colorado. McKinnon, Vasilevskiy. McKinnon primero, pero qué jugadota de Vasilevskiy. Entró. Entró. Gol.
So the announcer was confused. He was saying, you know, it was like, oh, you know, Vasilevskiy, maybe stopped or whatever. And then all of a sudden he starts saying, it entered, it's in. And the rest is history. Now, John Cooper, the head coach of the Tampa Bay Lightning, was not pleased with that sequence. He doesn't think it should have been a goal. It should have been waved off because of too many men on the ice. Here's how he handled the press conference last night.
This one's going to sting much more than others just because I think it was taken on. It was potentially, I don't know. It's hard for me. This is going to be hard for me to speak. I'm going to have to speak. I'll speak with you tomorrow. You're going to see what I mean when you see the winning goal. And my heart breaks for the players because we probably still should be playing. I'll be available tomorrow.
Will he? Was he available today?
I'm sure he was. It's the NHL.
I know. It's the NHL. He has to be made available all the time. So, okay, what's the issue here, right? His argument is that it shouldn't have been a goal because there were too many men on the ice during a line change that led to Kadri's goal on Andre Vasilevskiy, or however the Spanish announcer said it. Here's the problem. Why should they call a penalty for too many men on the ice for what looked like a pretty routine line change to me? Okay, so if you want to grab a still of the line change, well, Kadri comes in, the guy who's coming off the ice, he's still on the ice. There's skates still on the ice. Okay, 6 men on the ice. But I'm actually looking at a still right now. Do you know how many Tampa Bay Lightning players that I see on the ice right now? I see 7. I see 7 pairs of skates on the ice right before Kadri scores this amazing, just flips it. The sauce on that thing was amazing, okay? Fooled everybody. That's a line change. Is it a clean line change? Eh, but that's the whole point. If you called things the way you theoretically want them called, especially in hockey, you would never actually get a hockey game. Hockey's a little bit different, and you got to call a little bit different. And if you're looking for the letter of the law on this one, man, you're missing the entire freaking point. I get that it sucks. You lost in a heartbreaking fashion, but that's a goal. That's not too many men on the ice. To me, that just looked like a line change. You and I did agree, though, that game 4 in the Stanley Cup Finals really was going to be the pivotal game. If the Tampa Bay Lightning could have pulled that off last night, I felt like they could win this whole thing. But 3-1 now, no.
I was surprised with the way that the game started. Colorado, after losing 6-2, you figure they show that same kind of bounce back that Tampa did after losing 7-0 in game 2 in Denver. But this was a Sidney Lowe special, if you think about it. Nathan MacKinnon scores for Colorado. Then Kadri comes back from the injury, scores the game winner. Colorado's best players were their best players last night. And Tampa, you know, Braden Point couldn't play in the game because of the injury.
Yeah.
Kucherov did play. He played a lot,
mm-hmm.
but obviously not as effectively as he could have before the cheap shot from the end of game 3. So to me, while Cooper has his issues, I think this just comes down to Colorado's best players being a little bit better and being a little bit healthier.
Next up.
The number one story of the day.
We're number one. We're number one.
The headline is on WRL.com right now. Not totally dead. Online sports gambling efforts reeling after NC House setback. Brian Murphy, who we talked to earlier today, he's our WRL sports investigative reporter, highlighted what exactly happened. A watered-down version of one bill, this one's dubbed Senate Bill 38, gained preliminary approval by a single vote. That watered-down version of a sports wagering bill included such winners like, hey, you can gamble, but you can't gamble on collegiate sports. All collegiate sports, not just North Carolina-based collegiate sports, all collegiate sports. Well, that's dumb.
They also tried to get away, take away online betting.
That's the point, guys. So you want me to act like it's 1985 and
get
and go
the
to
queue?
A, no, it's geofencing, man. Come on now. So they had all these things that they were stripping out of this bill. Okay, cool. Online wagering, and then maybe on down the line, you can amend things and introduce things when people kind of get their feet wet and understand how sports wagering works in the modern era. Okay, I'm fine with that. But that's actually not what happened last night, because the superseding bill, the bill that actually houses all this, which is dubbed Senate Bill 688. Now, folks, bear with me. I am not a freaking Robert's Rules of Order wonk. I don't know the ins and outs and the terminology of the NC legislative process. I'm simply trying to explain to you where you had an agreed-upon, watered-down bill, but that bill was not going to go through unless this other bill was approved. Well, whoopsie. That bill was voted down, meaning the watered-down version isn't going to go through. So
there were six Democrats who changed their vote in the legislative session there yesterday. And if you're upset that they're arguing about the morality of it, or you're taking umbrage with that. You're not upset. You're taking umbrage.
No, I am upset. You could say the word upset. Okay. I'm upset that they keep bringing up moral arguments against wagering when clearly morals have gone out the window for a variety of things in the state of North Carolina as it relates to the lottery or alcohol or cigarettes. Heck, even medicinal marijuana, which is coming down the line as well. Anyway.
But to me, they had two different representatives argue, one about the Dixie Classic and a point shaving scandal that happened 62 years ago. Mm-hmm. And another, I am not making this up, according to Brian Murphy, one of the legislators argued about the 1919 Black Sox.
Yeah.
Joe, if the country were run as well as the casinos and their sports books, we would all be better off. Just in November, we had an NFL player place a bet that included an NFL game in a parlay.
Mm-hmm.
That bet was flagged. That player is Calvin Ridley. You will not see him this NFL season because of, as you mentioned, the geofencing. When you place a bet, it's from your phone. Well, yeah, Joe, you could buy a burner. Well, guess what? A lot of people don't.
Yeah.
Even NFL people. His bet was flagged. He is now suspended for this season because I believe it was Hard Rock was the actual casino that took the bet.
Yeah, in Florida.
Alerted the NFL. The NFL suspended the player. You mentioned earlier on this show that you had a headache. Well, Headache Smith was the last great point shaving scandal that we had in 1994.
Mm-hmm.
The normal handle on an Arizona State game in 1994 was $50,000. That's the normal amount that was bet on a Pac-12 game, or back then it was a Pac-10 game. By the time Smith's point-shaving escapades had gained notoriety, there was $1 million on the game. The casino that was taking the action told the FBI, hey, we have a problem here. And the point-shaving scandal was exposed. Now, I appreciate John Autry for his understanding of history in the state of North Carolina. But point shaving happens when you offer players money because they don't have access to it.
Mm-hmm.
Armando Bacot over at North Carolina, him and his mom participated in a story with Sports Illustrated where they said he stands to make more than $500,000 this season playing basketball for North Carolina. Do you think he's going to point shave for $10,000?
No.
Or $20,000?
But that also ties back into those things could get sniffed out real fast.
And if he did,
they would get sniffed out real fast.
They'd figure it out.
And that's
we don't need to close a casino 8 hours before on a campus or 8 hours after. We don't need to sit here and wonder if games are going to be fixed if we legalize gambling. It's quite the opposite.
The two things that I find most appalling in all of this. Number one, the real issue that I have is the lack of education, curiosity, understanding that it's 2022 and not 1960. It's your job. I know some people want to go back to the 60s.
I was gonna say.
Okay? I get that. but you can't, all right? That's number one. It is your freaking job as a state representative to do right by your constituents. Do you know how you do that? By being educated on the matters that you are voting on.
Oh, you create jobs. You create additional tax revenue as well, by the way.
All those things are true, too.
Yeah.
But the biggest thing you owe your constituents, if I'm voting in you into office, I expect you to at least do a Wikipedia search on the topic, okay? Like, why is it that me, schlubby radio host, can do a quick Google search on something to get a quick, brief, Cliff Notes version of how something might operate and be a little bit better informed? Instead, it's willful ignorance and dropping back to the freaking Dixie Classic or the 1919 Black Sox scandal.
Poor John Autry was topped by the 1919 Black Sox scandal.
So that's issue number one. It is your job to understand the issues at hand. You are making decisions that impact a lot of freaking things, man. A lot. And you notice I keep using the FCC-friendly version of that F word because I am steamed by the process that has unfolded in the NC legislature this week. So that's issue number one. What are you guys doing all freaking day? You didn't want to Google how this operates in other states? You didn't want to understand how these point shaving scandals get unearthed in the first place? Okay. And then there's the second part that has me steamed, and that is the selective morality that we clutch pearls over. Well, think of the children. Think of the families that this might disrupt. Y'all, I can go get gas on my way home right now. And I can get a lottery ticket. Do you understand the problem with that? You know how easy it is to just throw money away in that regard? You know what actually is gambling, like legit gambling? The lottery. Raffles, bingo, we're already doing it. So if you're worried about, well, being addicted to wagering, gambling helplines, well, those exist. Up it, number one. Number two, this is going to be a broad characterization, but follow me here. If you truly have a problem, it is not going to be happening because of legalized sports wagering. If you want to gamble right now, you can gamble, okay? If I wanted to put money on this upcoming football season, I can find a guy, and that leads to bigger problems. Here's the other thing. If I'm going with a legal sports book, you know what I'm funding? I'm funding the sports book. MGM, Caesars, DraftKings, FanDuel, like actual legitimate operations that employ people, okay?
And pay taxes. Yeah.
At a pretty decent rate. Look at New York. They're getting 51%, man. 51! And they're mad about it, but it is what it is. They're working it out. So I'm actually operating with a business, a reputable business. If I've got issues, I can talk to representatives at that business. Hey, this didn't go right. If something goes quirky in a game, they'll make it right. What am I funding when I go through a bookie?
His pockets.
Or worse.
Oh, well, yes.
I'm just saying. I could be funding a criminal organization.
Sure.
I could be funding drugs. I don't know. There's any number of things that I might be funding by going through an illegal sports book. But that's what you're pushing people to do. So it doesn't make any sense on a morality level when, A, it's actually worse without legalized sports betting, number one. Number two, you've already opened the door with the North Carolina Education Lottery. You're sitting here telling me, wondering and worried about these things going off the rails. So why is it when I walk into my Wegmans up the street here from the radio station that there's a kiosk that will take my card and I can buy lottery tickets? Oh, well, you can't use a credit card for a sports book. Why? You'll take my credit card for the lottery. There's no difference, period. Actually, if I wanted to make the argument, if I wanted to be that guy, I would tell you there is a difference. You know what I have a better chance winning at? It's not the lottery. It's not a scratch-off ticket. It's actually putting money down on a sporting event. I have a better chance of making my money back on a wager, just a straight up bet, not parlays or any of that wild stuff. If I wanted to actually pick a winner or say Sebastian Aho is going to score a goal in this game, you know what I can look at? Trends. I can research it. I can see where things are going. I can see it's a Tuesday night and this guy pitches on a particular night and he's really great against left-handers. You know? Like, these are things I can research.
Right.
I can put actual thought into what I'm going to do. That is not a game of chance. It actually becomes more of a game of skill in that regard. There is no research that you can do with a scratch-off ticket. None. There is no skill that is involved with putting five numbers into a Mega Millions, unless you think that skill is my dad's superstitions about using my birth date, my mom's birth month, and his lucky number, and, oh, probably the boat he came over from Cuba. Okay? So the morality aspect of this is so asinine and so pearl-clutchy that I have a headache. Like, for real. I'm not just saying that. I for real have a headache talking about this. And I'm going to have to take another round of ibuprofen.